Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I hope you've had a good week, and want to encourage those that are fasting, keep it up. It's worth it, and I hope you're seeing all the many blessings in your life from doing that. This week, we're going to talk about the COVID conspiracy. A lot of times in life, you get a little piece of a puzzle here and a little piece there, and over time you forget the pieces you learned, and then more pieces are added, and you think, oh, I think I heard something about that before, and it kind of all fades away, which is what the establishment hopes happens. That's why they overwhelm us with stories, because we're getting so much information, it's hard to separate out what was important that I heard and what wasn't, and how do the important pieces of the puzzle that I heard, how do they fit into other pieces of the puzzle so I can get a big picture? Well, today, we've had 2 years now, and I want to show you, so far, what we know about the COVID conspiracy. The timeline of what happened, when it happened, how it happened, who was behind it, and I think you're going to be amazed. I know I was, as I was starting to go through that this week, I thought, oh my goodness. I knew it was corrupt to the core, but now I know it is, and it's obvious why. And we're going to talk about at the end, why is it so purposeful, and what are the main things they're trying to accomplish. But thank you so much for watching. Those on all the different platforms, please consider going to agendaweekly.com to become a subscriber and to get all the resources we provide every week. And it helps support us too, which we really appreciate. Before I dig into the timeline, a couple things I want to bring up. One is, you've probably seen it, we have a great video below by Tucker Carlson covering it, but Silencing Dissent, the nation's school boards have declared war on parents, calling them an immediate threat. In a letter sent Thursday to President Biden, the National School Boards Association said school board members, officials, and students across the nation are facing an increased amount of malice, violence, and threats that amount to a form of domestic terrorism and hate crimes. When you start labeling the mothers in America that are fed up with you teaching their children to hate their own country, teaching their children to wear these masks that are toxic to them and that are hurting their ability to learn and understand, and you call them domestic terrorists and that's a hate crime, I hope more and more, everyone you know, please encourage them, get their children out of the schools. They cannot be fixed because they are accomplishing exactly what they were designed to do. I'm glad people are standing up, but please encourage everyone. If we could get, we've already got 11% of the kids out, and which is wonderful. We need to get up to about 25%. We need 14 more percent of school children. They're in the K through 12 schools, parents to bring them home, where they can get a real education, where they'll have time with them to build relationships, so they have a healthy, strong family, and to stop them from being abused by this system. But anyway, shocking to see that. Another thing I wanted to bring up, an article we have below, what it goes into, a large number of studies have shown that the most severe effects of COVID-19 are bleeding and abnormal clotting. They're due to the effects of the spike protein of the virus itself. So if you've had COVID or have it in the future, or if any of you have been vaccinated, you were forced to or whatever, this is a key article because it talks about natural things you can do to help thin out your blood so that you don't have excessive clotting and things that are causing so many health problems right now, and people that have had COVID and the people that have had the vaccination that have pumped all those spike proteins into their system, and it's creating havoc on the system. So that's a key thing. Look for that below as well. Now getting into the topic, the COVID conspiracy. It's pretty shocking. Here's the facts. And I'm going to go through them one at a time. Stay with me, because as you see them all unfold, and all the pieces come together, it's very clear what has happened over the last 2 years. It's no longer, well, I think this happened or I think that happened. You will know clearly exactly what has happened and what is still happening right now. First key date I want to mention is January 11th, 2017. Fauci makes this crazy statement that seemed weird at the time, but here it is. Listen to it yourself.
I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak.
Just think about that, what he said, as if these worldwide pandemics are a common occurrence. They're not. There hasn't been one since the Spanish flu in 1918. It's not a normal thing in his last 32 years. They've been all the ones, the bird flu, the swine flu, all those things that had hardly any death at all, far less than the common flu every year that kills 55,000 Americans alone. How did he know there was going to be a surprise outbreak? Because he was doing the gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute. He was funding it. He was part of it. What is gain-of-function research? Listen to this clip by an investigative journalist in Australia who just wrote a book, What Really Happened in Wuhan. She is an expert on this, and the book is incredible, but listen to this.
Why it's called gain-of-function is because the virus can gain new functions. For example, the ability to infect humans when it could not infect humans previously, or say the ability to become airborne. So in effect, you're taking a pre-existing virus, giving it new abilities, and then you end up with a new virus that is more lethal, more deadly, more dangerous. Anthony Fauci, I found out, was one of the most senior officials, government officials, who were proponents of gain-of-function, who was a proponent of gain-of-function research. And I found a paper he wrote for MBio, the medical journal, in 2012, where he acknowledged, he writes in this paper, that gain-of-function research can cause a pandemic. At the time, there was debate about whether or not to ban gain-of-function research. This is in 2012, and then the Obama administration did ban it 2 years later. So in this paper, he's admitting that it can cause a pandemic, but he argued that the risks were worth it for the benefits that it can bring, which is seeing which viruses could cause a pandemic. Now, it's important to note that many, many, many scientists have strongly and publicly argued there's no proof that it has ever been able to prevent a pandemic. Creating new viruses, they say, does not help to prevent a pandemic, and they were arguing really strongly against it. That's why a ban was introduced, or more technically correct, it was a pause of gain-of-function research in 22 fields, including with coronaviruses, with MERS, with influenza viruses. Now, in 2017, this pause was lifted.
It's very interesting to note that if you dig into the details, how was the ban lifted in 2017? It was Anthony Fauci that said, no, we want to keep doing this and keep funding this. Right at the same time, exactly the same time, he's telling us, oh, the next president, President Trump, is going to have a pandemic on his hands. How would you know that? It's so crazy. But there's an article in the Telegraph in the United Kingdom, and it talks about this. They uncovered some whistleblowers, that the fact that scientists from Wuhan and the U.S. were planning to create a new coronavirus that did not exist in nature. Documents leaked last month show that a genetic expert, he uncovered this plan as he was studying different proposals. And the proposal he was studying was from Fauci and all them in 2018, where they said they wanted to do this. So think about that. Okay, they're telling us what they want to do. We'd like to create a new deadly strain of coronavirus that's not anything that has appeared in nature. And they get rejected for the funding, but I'm sure they went to another source like Bill Gates or the Chinese Communist government, and they got it. But here's what happened then. The Wuhan database, where they're doing this project, was taken offline prior to the COVID outbreak, some 18 months later from when they started this, on September 12, 2019. But the significance of September 12th, 2019, I mean, it's a key date. That's when all the virus data that they've put online from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, they take it down. It goes black. They don't want you to know which viruses they've been studying or working with. It's gone, and they take it down. And I believe that's where the plan started by Fauci. He'd been working on this. He'd already predicted it into the future. And then they realized, okay, we got to cover. One thing I've learned in life is you don't do things like that if you're not guilty. If you don't have a plan, you don't hide everything. Don't let people see what we're doing if you're not the one guilty of doing what has been done. You don't do that. So it's very clear. The CCP starts covering it up. They beefed up security around the Wuhan Institute of Virology, surveillance. They had a gag order on anyone that worked there. If you talk, you'll be imprisoned. And then the military took over. And we can even see the pictures where then military was all around that institute. Because they knew things were getting ready to happen and they wanted it secure. So again, that was September 12th, key date. Then September 24th, 2019, just 12 days later, and Trump, again, now he has been president since Fauci said, I think there's going to be a pandemic in January, but 2017, 2018, and now it's September 2019, Trump's policies were working. I mean, the growth, we had record low unemployment, the tax and regulations he had cut, business was booming, the Black and Hispanic populations were being hired at the fastest rate ever. We were the number one producer of oil and natural gas in the world. Okay, so we're totally energy self-sufficient. Wages were rising for the first time in decades in comparison to inflation. First time. There were 2.5 million people that had been on welfare that were able to get off welfare and start getting jobs and being productive. The military had been rebuilt. The world was being held accountable for all the terrible policies and the bad trade deals. All that stuff had happened. And then Trump said this to all the countries of the world on September 24th, 2019. And I believe it was the final nail in the coffin. They knew they were planning on this, but once he said this, they knew it has to be now. Watch this.
It's plain to see. If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. And if you want peace, love your nation. Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations who protect their citizens, respect their neighbors, and honor the differences that make each country special and unique.
Did you hear that? That was the trigger that let them know we have to move forward now. Because he wasn't just making America first and wanting to build America into the greatest country ever and all that. He wasn't just doing that. He was inspiring all the leaders of the world. That was an inspirational talk, and they're not used to hearing that. They're used to hearing that you're just going to be wallowing in the mire with disease and poverty and sickness. And he was telling them, no, make your country the greatest country in the world, and you can follow our example. It's working. These type of policies of freedom and low taxes and the governments loving their people work. And they knew then, that's it. I remember listening to that speech back then, knowing they're going to kill him. You can't talk like that, right in the shaking your fist in the face of the globalist. They're going to do something. Now, here's what's interesting. So that was September 24th, 2019, that speech. The release date for COVID now seems to be the beginning to the middle of October. So they were just planning this thing. And that speech, I believe, was the trigger where they said it has to be now. How do we know that it got out in October in Wuhan? It was already spreading around. They told us that the end of December was the first case. But I know from studying communism, communists always lie even when they don't need to. They love lies. And so, but how do we know? We know because some great investigative journalists studied PCR sales soared in Wuhan before first official COVID-19 cases publicized. You dig in and you find out the firm tracked the sales of the PCR test over several years, revealing a 100% increase between 2018 and 2019, the year before the COVID outbreak spread across the country. They told us right at the end of December 30th or something, there was the first case of COVID in China. But as you go through the facts on it, we assess with high confidence that the pandemic began much earlier than China informed the World Health Organization. And then notably significant and abnormal amounts of PCR equipment was purchased in 2019, starting in October, by the Wuhan University of Science and Technology and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So, months before the supposed outbreak, they're buying millions and millions of those tests. It was planned, people. So clearly, so obviously, it's not even funny. Then it's not just that. So this thing is already getting out there at the beginning of October to mid-October 2019. Then Bill Gates, with Johns Hopkins University, has Event 201. You've probably heard about it. Here's a little clip, just so you can see it's a real thing. I'm not making this up, but they have a mock event based on the idea that there's a new coronavirus pandemic out there. And the key point of this, you go, well, why would they have this? It was preparing the medical establishment to accept their plan for the response. They wanted, before this thing got rolling, let's get all the medical people together and kind of tell them, here's the right response. And if you watch the whole event, which you can online, you see they were talking about totalitarian methods are the best way to stop the spread. And they even say in the little thing, oh, you know, China will probably be the best if a new virus ever was to come out, the best at restraining it, because they do whatever is necessary. They don't have to worry about a constitution. But watch this clip.
Ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia. The sickest required intensive care. Many died. Experts agree unless it is quickly controlled, it could lead to a severe pandemic, an outbreak that circles the globe and affects people everywhere.
We could be looking at double the number of cases in 1 week and 16 times as many in a month if we are not able to stop the spread. That would be on the order of 500,000 cases, and it would continue to rise exponentially. In 3 months, we could be approaching 10 million cases.
We're at the start of what's looking like it will be a severe pandemic. And there are problems emerging that can only be solved by global business and governments working together.
Countries are reacting in different ways as to how best to manage the overwhelming amounts of dis and misinformation circulating over the internet. In some cases, limited internet shutdowns are being implemented to quell panic.
How much control of information should there be? And by whom? And how can false information be effectively challenged?
We're at a moment where the social media platforms have to step forward and recognize the moment to assert that they're a technology platform and not a broadcaster is over. They, in fact, have to be a participant in broadcasting accurate information and partnering with the scientific and health communities to counterweight, if not flood the zone, of accurate information, because to put the genie back in the bottle of the misinformation and disinformation is nigh impossible.
One thing we haven't spoken about, and I'm wondering whether it's time to talk about this, is a step up from the part of the governments on enforcement actions against fake news.
That's just a small clip of a several-day conference. But do you see that? It's already been released at this time. We know that because they're ordering PCR tests by the millions, so you know it's already happened. And Bill Gates is in the know. Tony Fauci is in the know, especially with the Wuhan Institute that he funds. He's the main funder of it. So, of course, they're telling him, hey, it's out. And he's probably the one that told them it's time to let it go. So this is an event that was planned by Bill Gates. Okay, you can see right on the videos, he's the funder of it. All right, it just to show what a liar he is and how crazy these people are. They're so in their own little world. They think we're so dumb we can't look up things on the internet and see what's going on to find their little event they thought we would know nothing about. Then on April 12th, so that was October 18th, but April 12, 2020, in an interview, Bill Gates said in an interview to the BBC, "Now here we are," he's talking about the pandemic, "we didn't simulate this, we didn't practice, so both the health policies and economic policies, we find ourselves in uncharted territory." He's just a total liar. He's the one that just funded an event 5 months before talking about a coronavirus pandemic. So everyone would be supposedly ready. It wasn't so they'd be ready, like I said, it's so they would have the right response the establishment wanted them to have. If they'd already kind of laid out a protocol, mass, distancing, all those things, then everyone just does it because, oh, we've heard about this. If you don't do that, what happens is doctors on their own start looking, what's the best way to handle this? What's the best way to do this? And they didn't want that to happen because they knew they would have a totally different approach to this pandemic, like lockdowns that do nothing. All this, they needed those lockdowns. But they knew, no, if doctors are solving problems on their own, that could be deadly to our plan. So we see that happening then. So Bill Gates, we know he's a liar, but it was so obvious. Yeah, we didn't have any kind of warning or he never even thought about this before. Unbelievable. And we see now a lot of the doctors a year ago that started to see, wait a minute, the solutions they're offering, the protocol they're offering us doesn't work. They saw that and they started on their own digging in and researching and found ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and vitamin D and all these other things that have worked and are working, and they've done studies. They go, hey, this works. And what are they trying to do now? Remove the licenses of those people. All the signs show us this pandemic was just that. It was a scamdemic. It was a total scam, and it had nothing to do, all their protocols have nothing to do with helping us live longer and be safe and all that. None of that. And we know that now. If we didn't before, we might have thought, oh no, they're well-intentioned. We know that. Because when they stop people from doing pre-treatment things that have an incredible 99.9% effective rate, and they keep doing the other things that have proven now over a year and a half, they don't work, then you know, okay, this is as evil as we thought it was. We also know now from some declassified documents right before Trump left office, he declassified a bunch of things that had been going on. But we know from that the intelligence community, the FBI and the CIA, they knew all about this, that it was already going out and everything in October of 2019. But They were focused on destroying Trump instead of protecting the Americans. And the declassified documents also show that many people in the State Department kept resisting any attempt to investigate this. Trump wanted it investigated, and they kept, no, that's ridiculous. We know where it came from. It was a bat in a wet market in China and all that stuff, when they knew that wasn't true. It was one they had created, and they let go on purpose to accomplish their plan. So that was that last event, 201, was October 18th, 2019. Now we go to October 29th, toward the end of October 2019. Now, this is incredible. This is a little gem that was just discovered by someone in the last week or so. There was a health summit featuring Dr. Fauci then, October 29th, 2019. Watch this clip from that meeting and remember the following as you're watching it. He is the one that has been funding this research. The Wuhan Institute has been taken offline September 12th. So we know something's going on. They've just gone black. There's a total blackout. The Chinese Communist military is surrounding the Institute. There's been a gag order on anyone that works there. This has already happened in September and October. This is October 29th. The PCR test sales to the area are already skyrocketing. Again, so we know it's out there. He knows it's been released. He obviously is in touch with what they're doing. He's their funder. It was his program. So he's not oblivious to it. Watch this clip.
Why don't we blow the system up? I mean, obviously, we can't just turn off the spigot on the system we have and then say, hey, everyone in the world should get this new vaccine we haven't given to anyone yet. But there must be some way that we grow vaccines mostly in eggs the way we did in 1947.
In order to make the transition from getting out of the tried and true egg growing, which we know gives us results that can be, you know, beneficial. I mean, we've done well with that, to something that has to be much better. You have to prove that this works. And then you've got to go through all of the clinical trials, phase ones, phase twos, phase three, and then show that this particular product is going to be good over a period of years. That alone, if it works perfectly, is going to take a decade.
There might be a need or even an urgent call for an entity of excitement out there that's completely disruptive, that's not beholden to bureaucratic strings and processes.
So we really do have a problem of how the world perceives influenza, and it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
But it is not too crazy to think that an outbreak of a novel avian virus could occur in China somewhere. We could get the RNA sequence from that, beam it to a number of regional centers, if not local, if not even in your home at some point, and print those vaccines on a patch and self-administer.
There could be an outbreak in China, and then we're going to take the RNA code from the coronavirus and distribute it throughout the world. And we have to have something that disrupts the normal way of life to get people just to take it. Did you hear all that? It's already been released in China when that has happened. People are already getting it there. It's starting to spread through China. And he knows that. They're laying the framework so they can say, oh, we've been talking about this. No, we knew this might happen sometime. That's why in January of 2017, he said, oh, yeah, the next president's going to have a pandemic. So you have heard that and you feel like, oh, yeah, I think we were warned about this. How are you warned about that? That's like being warned of a lightning strike 2 years ahead of time. You can't be warned for that. It's not predictable. You don't know what's going to happen with it. But that's what these evil people were doing. It's totally planned. Fauci was in control of it. He is worse than a Hitler or a Stalin. And this was all planned. They wanted you to take this mRNA vaccine so they could alter your genetics and they could have total control and have you as a guinea pig from here on out. Because once you take it and you get those spike proteins in your body, which hurt your immune system, you're going to need a vaccine for every cold that comes along in the future because you're not going to be able to stand against it. It's unbelievable. But it doesn't stop there. Stay with me. This is so, so important. February 5th, 2020. So we're November, December, January, 3 months later, February 5th, 2020. In an article here, China lab seeks patent on use of Gilead's coronavirus treatment. Well, what is that? A study published in the New England Journal of Medicine last week, so in January 2020, reported a patient in the United States was found to show an improvement after taking remdesivir. That's the drug the Chinese were getting a patent on February 5th. Based on a New England Journal of Medicine study of one person. One. Then, April 29th, just a couple months later, Dr. Fauci on CNBC says Gilead's remdesivir will set a new standard of care for coronavirus treatment. Fauci said, when you know a drug works, you have to let a lot of people in the placebo group know so they can take it. This goes so deep, I don't even have time for it. One person has taken it and they said that was successful, and now it's the only standard and the only protocol for COVID-19 forthgoing. But if you dig into the studies of remdesivir that have been done, every single study that has used remdesivir, of course in Africa and different places where they've used it as a trial, as high as 54% of the people that took it died. It had to be pulled out of every study that's ever been done on it. And Fauci says it is the only solution for COVID-19. They wanted a lot of death. It causes kidney failure. And so you die then, and then water backs up into your lungs when your organs start shutting down. So it gives you a pneumonia and then you die. All the studies show that. There's never been a study, a medical study on that drug that has completed its course because loss of life was so great. And again, the CDC then, a few days after this great article in April 2020, said the only treatment for COVID is remdesivir. And it just happens to be $3,100 per person. And it has caused probably 80%+ of all deaths in America from COVID were from that drug itself. And that's what happened. Now listen up as I wrap this up and tell you the key objective of this. Besides death, fear, slaughter, cutting populations, those things, but some questions to be asked are this. Why was funding pouring in from America into a secret lab run with the communist Chinese military in charge? It's criminal, it's treasonous, it's unbelievable. A whistleblower just a week ago released some of the DOD's documents, Department of Defense documents. Here's some facts now. They were hiding, and we know they were hiding it now. It's there. The over 65 age group, which they hate. If you're over 65, they hate. You're a useless eater, as the communists used to say in the Soviet Union, because you're not contributing anything anymore. You're just eating and using up the supplies. But over 65 groups that are fully vaccinated are making up 70% of hospitalizations right now in America. 70%+ of all hospitalizations in your state, my state, every state, are people that are 65 and over and fully vaccinated. They've also, and this is so evil here, this is how they're doing it, but they took off 48,000 deaths from the vaccine. of people that were 65 and over. But here's the smoke and mirrors. All the recent deaths since January have been the vaccine for the most part. Listen to this. It's so important. This is how they classify a vaccine death or a COVID death. And this is from these documents. You have to have been vaccinated for at least 14 days to be considered vaccinated. Okay? Let me explain that. So if you got your first shot, had major trouble with it, and died, that's a COVID death. That is not, no, you're not vaccinated yet. You haven't had your second shot. Has to be 14 days past your second shot for them to then look at it as a possible vaccine reaction. So if you died right after your second shot, that's a COVID death. That is not a vaccine death because you're not considered to have been vaccinated. Well, I took two shots. Yeah, but 14 days haven't gone by, so you're not fully vaccinated. That's the criminal fine print in their papers. So everybody dying now, most of them are from the vaccine, but they're being classified as COVID deaths because it's convenient to scare you into getting the jab. They have to get you to get the jab. We talked about that last week. But here's the other crazy part. And then the people that are just dying of COVID. They're not dying of COVID. They're dying of medical malpractice because they weren't given ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and vitamin D, and all the things that have been proven to work. Those were withheld from them. They just gave them remdesivir, which kills you. Or they put you on a respirator, which kills you. I mean, and so you see, oh my goodness. It's just crazy. But the article went on, 60% of all COVID deaths have been in people 65 and over that have been vaccinated this year. So that's where we stand. Here's one more piece of the puzzle to show you the corruption. Here is a U.S. flu positive rates by week of influenza that happens every year. On the average year, 30% of the population gets influenza, the flu that goes around. And we lose an average of about 55,000 people every year of the common flu. And they're usually the vulnerable people that are already sick or they're elderly and things like that. And they have pre-existing conditions. So this is in 2019, 2020, 30%. Look at this last winter. 1% of the population got influenza. That's what this thing is. It's crazy. Do you see that? Normally 30%, 30%. And last year, magically, only 1%, the common flus all disappeared. No, they've all been labeled as COVID. If you have a runny nose, it's COVID. If you die of anything, it's COVID. If you've had it within 60 days, they classify any death as COVID. If you're killed in a car wreck 45 days after having COVID, it is a COVID death. It's crazy what they're doing. Well, why are they doing all this? Glad you asked. That's a good question. This is so strategic. Here's what's happening. I briefly mentioned this last week. It's to separate the wheat from the chaff in their evil worldview. It removes freedom-loving, non-sheeple people from everything. We have been taken over, and they are separating out those who love America, love freedom, and love God for elimination. Here's a list. What is this thing really all about? It's the Great Purge. That's why they're sticking with the narrative, even when everything has proved it wrong, even when the science proves it is wrong. I mean, just think about this. Over the next 6 months, they're going to remove from government positions anyone that doesn't take the jab. So you're removing anyone conservative or Christian or freedom loving or people that are sharp and understand, they've researched and go, I don't think I want to take this experimental thing. You're going to be kicked out of the system. From the post office to Washington, D.C., they're going to purge out all the really hard conservative people and patriotic out of everything. They're doing it in the military. Take the jab or you're out. So the really die-hard conservatives that that love truth are going to go, I can't take it. Okay, you got to get out. So they'll be able to purge the military, the FBI, the CIA, the police nationwide. Oh, see ya. They're removing everyone that loves this country and loves truth from every position. The National Guard, the educational system. Oh, you can't teach in the schools if you don't get the vaccine. You can't teach in the colleges and universities. It's a clever way to remove the people they hate from society completely, where they'll have no influence because you're out. Business jobs. That's why Biden is going to demand it of business. 100 employees or more. So that's small business up. There'll be no job for you then. So they're going to punish those who resist and make them submit, or they'll know who they are because they'll be the outcast of society. Big tech. You have to be vaccinated. Big pharma. The medical industry. Right now they're talking about, just listened to a video yesterday from some top medical people, we should remove the licenses of anyone, any doctor or nurse that says masks are not effective or the vaccine is not safe. Every single medical study that has ever been done on masks say they have 0% effectiveness at stopping the transmission of viruses. But we're at war. You say, well, how could they do that? How in the world could they? That's how they can do that. We're at war. The medical establishment, everything has been taken over, and we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs, wondering, what's going on? If we're at war. And they're going to defund you just like they want to defund the police. They're going to make you lose your job and not be able to go to school and not be able to go buy your groceries and not be able to have a bank account and not be able to leave your property. And then at some point with Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, and by the way, we need your property. And so you have no place to hide. The travel industry. Those that don't get vaccinated, you can't travel anywhere. But you also can't be pilots or bus drivers or taxis or passengers and all travel. We're going to punish you. You're not going to be able. And he's talking about, hasn't happened yet, you cannot leave your state if you are not vaccinated. So even to stop interstate travel in America. But so it's purge. Anyone that is patriotic, conservative, Christian, that stands on their own, that is smart enough to have researched and understand the issues, all they want is sheep to lead. Because it's very easy to lead sheep. Very easy. You just go boo, and it scares them, and they all go running, and they'll follow you wherever you want them to go. But that's what this is. They will be in complete control of everything with no opposition allowed at all. None. That's where we are. And I know it's a sobering place, but that's the agenda behind this. It's a lot of the stuff we talked about last week, but it's a lot of this information too, to know this is all part of their plan. Every day that goes by, they keep proving that over and over again. Again, withholding good things that help. Well, then you know, okay, this is evil. This isn't about health. And we already knew that. But anyone that's not convinced, you need to get them good information so they can see this and realize, oh my goodness, I've been lied to. Because we got to stand up now and say no. And then taking care of yourself right now. Are you doing all the pre-treatment protocol? All the different vitamin things and stuff. You need to take care of yourself. You need to exercise. You need to eat healthy. You need to have some self-control. It's so vital. It's the foundation of life is self-discipline, self-control. I'm just encouraging you. You take on your health as your responsibility. Try to get off the medications you're on if you're on those. Start studying. What's alternative things I could use that help my body heal up instead of just numbing all my symptoms or covering them up? What can I do to take care of myself? It's important you teach your children that. Don't be eating the junk and the things that hurt your body. We're supposed to take care of our temple that God has given us. So we'll have as many healthy years on this earth as possible to make a difference. But I want to really encourage you in that. We've got a lot of great videos in articles and prayer and action items below. Do those things, stay in the fight, but I think we need to gear up in this battle of realizing to engage this battle most effectively, I need to be healthy. I need to get a good night's sleep. I encourage you to be exercising. Yeah, even if you're 75, start exercising. Getting some little dumbbells and doing exercises, getting that blood pumping through your body just helps rejuvenate it and helps you live a lot longer and healthier. We need you. If you're 85 watching this, we need you. Your wisdom, your experience, your understanding. Be writing letters to the editor exposing these things and talking about what you've learned over your life. And of course, be sharing that with your children and grandchildren. But there's so much going on. I hope this was a blessing to kind of put it all together. Because again, when we get just individual pieces of the puzzle, sometimes it gets overwhelming, gets confusing. But when it's laid out before us, and this is just what we know, I'm sure more and more will come out in the future going, oh my goodness. But it's clear enough now to see it was planned. It was purposeful. We were warned about it so it wouldn't seem crazy when it happened. Because, oh yeah, remember we told you this might happen. No, lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place. Anyway, I hope it was a blessing. I appreciate you. I'm thankful for you. And just keep being engaged at the local level right where you are. Because you can make a big difference. But until next week, God bless you.